broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, you're in the clubhouse. Welcome on this first weekend in October. Ron Syrak, Executive Editor, Golf World, Senior Writer, Golf Digest, author, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose will be joining us. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Also brought to you by Discount Furniture Warehouse, offering a wide range of furniture to complement your island lifestyle. 345 North Nimitz Highway, visit HawaiiDiscountFurniture.com. Discount Furniture Warehouse, where the prices are so low, it's insane. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Welcome to the show. Ron Syrak wrote a very thought-provoking piece for GolfDigest.com on just how Ryder Cup captains are chosen. Just last weekend, we were talking with Golf World contributor John Huggan, questioning Jose Maria Olazabal's dismal performance because the Europeans were doing so poorly after the first 2 days. Welcome to the show, Executive Editor, Golf World, Ron Syrak. Good to have you on.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I thought it was just, you know, and I opened with John saying, you know, if they win, the captain gets all the credit. If they lose, he gets all the blame. And we were blaming, trying to figure out what Jose Maria Olazabal was doing wrong and all this stuff. And now this week has been all about Davis Love and his decisions. Your piece on how the captain is chosen was very interesting. What brought that on?
Well, when the Ryder Cup was over and U.S. lost, Mandy Shoney win three singles matches on Sunday and squandered what looked like an insurmountable lead, I asked myself, how do we fix this? It was like, the five of the last six Ryder Cups the United States has lost. How do you turn that around? And I really couldn't think of a reason. You know, I thought, well, let's have 12 captain's picks, but the wrong players, I don't think, were necessarily on the team. They just seem somehow every time, every 2 years, to get outplayed and out-captained by the Europeans. So what I sort of thought is they needed to just blow up the captain process and really sort of go outside the box and think about it. The tendency right now is to be a recently active player, preferably somebody who's won the PGA Championship, as Davis Love had. I think they should even consider bringing somebody in who's not necessarily a golfer, just somebody who's a good manager.
Is that when you came up with President Clinton?
Well, yeah. I was at that tournament at the Humana Challenge, and the guy's a motivator, that's for sure. You watch him work the crowds. But, what I keep coming down to is the Europeans get more jacked up for that week of the Ryder Cup than the Americans do. And I'm not entirely sure why that is. One reason that I think is that no matter how many times Europe wins the Ryder Cup, they still come in with a chip on their shoulder, feeling that they're underappreciated, not respected. You certainly see that from Ian Poulter and Justin Rose and probably even Luke Donald. Look, four of the top five in the world rankings are European players, and there's a lot of talent there. They feel that they never quite get the respect. And then this year, I also think they embrace the atmosphere of Ryder Cup week better than the Americans. It's more like a football game than it is a golf tournament at the Ryder Cup, with singing and chanting and stuff. And maybe because of their experience in team play in Europe, maybe because of all the soccer that they play over there in international competition, they just embrace that atmosphere better than the Americans.
They love being on a team and they love working together. Both sides said that. What I find interesting is, in years past, we've looked at our team, our U.S. team, and said, you know, we just don't know how to play as a team in these foursomes and alternate shots and what have you. This time, we did fantastic, and we flunked at singles. And I love I love the headline that you have on Golf World, singled out. How did that was surprising to me.
Yeah, you know, and first off, if you look at the cover of this week's Golf World, we went with the losers rather than the winners. You know, we went with a Jim Furyk dejection photo rather than going with an elation from a photo from the Europeans, because we thought that was the story, that this was there for the Americans, and they sort of let it slip away from them. I think simply two things happened. Late Saturday afternoon, the last two matches of the day, with Europe down 10-4, they came back and won two four-ball matches. It made it 10-6. That gave, and I believe it was, Poulter and McIlroy was one, because Poulter birdied the last five holes, and then it was Donald and Garcia. And they came back and they won those two. Without those 2 points, Sunday would not have mattered at all. That gave them confidence going into the night. And I think Jose Maria sat down with them on Saturday night and said, the tide has turned. The momentum's now on our side. We won these last two matches. And then all week, the Europeans had the silhouette of Seve Ballesteros on their golf bag, and they came out Sunday morning with the silhouette of Seve Ballesteros on the sleeve of their shirt.
Mm.
And I do think that Jose Maria, who was, Seve's longtime playing partner and friend, really reached down and tapped into that emotion for his players.
I couldn't help but sit there astounded at the lack of confidence that was oozing out of our great U.S. players in the singles matches. They seemed to have so much confidence as teams of two, and then all of a sudden, boom, they fell apart.
It's one of the things that amazes me about match play in general, and specifically in the Ryder Cup, is how dramatically and quickly and decisively momentum can change. You know, when just all of a sudden, you start to feel that tide turning. And the Americans looked up. And look, Jose Maria did a brilliant job. He put his big guns out early. Those first four guys went out, and then he had put Paul Laurie was the fifth guy. And they all won their matches. And the Americans are looking up and seeing all this blue European flags going up there, and the tide's changing. One of the things that was needed, and I don't think this is appreciated enough, people thought that they were wasting Tiger Woods by putting him in the 12th spot. Some people thought they were hiding him by putting him in the 12th spot.
Mm-hmm.
But it came down to that 12th spot. But the simple fact is, if you're Tiger Woods and you're playing a match against Francesco Molinari, you got to go out and wax him 6-5 to send that message. This point's secured. You guys got to get your 8.5 points somewhere else, because you're not getting this one. And Tiger was just simply not capable of doing that.
Yeah, it was interesting what Davis Love said. He was talking this week. Of course, he's playing in the Justin Timberlake Shriners. He's so happy to be playing golf again. And he talked about himself, about the importance of repetition. But he also brought up Tiger Woods. And I'm just going to bring this up. This is Davis Love speaking about repetition and Tiger.
I learned that, you know, on the golf course, I think one of the things that hurts me is that I don't stick with it. You know, I don't stay committed. I get out of my playing Tiger, and I talked about it Sunday morning about, you know, how important doing the same thing over and over and over is. And I saw it in him. He played really well in the back nine a couple of matches, because he finally got into just hitting the ball at the flag rather than working on his golf swing.
I never really thought about that, you know. Is Tiger working on his golf swing while he's in competition?
Well, that's a sort of a bizarre thing to do, because, you know, we're in, like, what are we in, year three of Tiger working on his golf swing?
Yeah.
And we should be a little bit beyond that right now. And, you know, if Davis wants to talk about repetition, yeah, he certainly was repetitive in sending Stricker and Woods out there time
yes.
and time again after they keep losing. You know,
let's talk about that. Let's talk about the decisions.
This one of the definitions of futility is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and think the results are going to change. It reminded me of when Hal Sutton in 2004 paired Mickelson and Woods together. They got beat, and then he sent them right. And they got beat, and there was clearly no chemistry between the two of them. And then he sent them back out again to get beat again. I think Davis made a lot of mistakes. No American played all five sessions, and that's the first time that's ever happened. I think a lot of people thought Keegan Bradley should have played five sessions. You know, the European captains always do a better job of identifying who their weak links are and hiding them, identifying who's playing the best for them at that time, and maximizing them. And the United States does not do that.
Now, Phil Mickelson made it very clear that he did not want to play that second, that afternoon match. But we have not heard from Keegan Bradley. Is his silence speaking volumes?
I think Keegan would have played, absolutely, you know. And, you know, it wouldn't have been bad maybe to send Tiger and Keegan Bradley out there, or, you know, you look at the European side, McIlroy and Justin Rose played all five of their matches, and they got huge points for them. They knew, Jose Maria knew, that they were playing well, and just keep sending them out there.
Now, Paul Azinger and Davis Love talked a lot together, and Azinger created the pod system of getting the guys. It's something from the Navy SEALs, right? Where
right.
They work together and they put them in pods of four, so they all get to know one another by personality traits. That's interesting. But then he also said, Davis Love, in hindsight, maybe I shouldn't have stuck to the plan. But we all agreed, and I thought this was interesting. We as a team, my team and I, all agreed that we should stick to the plan. Maybe he shouldn't have stuck to the plan. And I think that's important. If his plan's not working, go outside. But everybody agreed. Do you think that's the democracy that we play with? The captain should be in charge.
Yeah, I do think that the American captain gets a little bit too much boxed in by this obsessive sense of democracy out there, that everybody in the American team played either three or four matches. And on the European side, Keimer and Hansen only played twice. And then, as I said, McIlroy and Rose played five times. So they don't feel that need to balance things out. Look, Davis's plan worked very well for 2 days. And here's the thing I think that we sometimes overlook. You know, you started the segment by saying when the captain wins, he gets too much credit. When he loses, he gets too much blame. Well, one of the ways in which the players have to take responsibility, I think the Europeans, year after year, Ryder Cup after Ryder Cup, have more team leaders among their players than the Americans do. Look, Ian Poulter was Seve Ballesteros last week.
Yeah.
He was the guy doing it. Sergio Garcia is like that. Colin Montgomery was a real pain in the butt when he played. And I always thought back in 2004 again when Chris Riley played very well one morning, and then Hal Sutton wanted to play him in the afternoon, and Chris Riley said he was too tired to play. I was imagining what would happen if he was on the European team and he said that, and Seve Ballesteros was on that team.
Yeah.
I don't think Seve would have gotten his face and say, too tired to play? You know, you're playing great. Get out there. And I do think that the Europeans have more fire going on within their own players. Keegan Bradley was the only guy that I really saw. I guess you could say Bubba Watson a little bit because of the way he was interacting with the crowd. But Keegan was the one who was embracing the moment more. And you even saw him drawing Mickelson into that. And the European players do a better job of motivating themselves than the Americans do.
I want to take a break and come back and talk about the way the crowds are in the U.S. And what about that last match with Molinari and Woods? Would it have been better handled if they had just said, we'll talk about that after this. We have to take the break. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii.
Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
I'd like to get this in from Davis Love on the importance of just understanding that the U.S. team lost not necessarily because of decisions made, he says, but part of it had to do with the luck of the drop, the bounce, the strike. This is what he had to say.
I think Dustin Johnson said it best. Everybody's all feeling sorry for themselves, and he goes, man, it's just golf. He said, they knocked in a bunch of putts, and ours lipped out. He goes, there's nothing we can do about it. And, you know, that really did sum it up. Sergio's makes an eagle in the next hole, skulls it in the pine straw, and then smacks it off the pin, and it goes in. And next thing you know, he wins two holes from Furyk. And it just, you know, everybody talks about 17 and 18, but we had things like that. They had, I think, five, maybe even six eagles, you know, on Sunday. And whenever a guy comes out of the box, I saw one of our scorecards. We had a couple birdies in the first five holes, and the guy was down. Because he birdied and the other guy eagled. We just didn't have things go our way. And I think then at the end, the guys that we had at the end to try to, just in case something bad happened, you know, they didn't make any putts either. And it was an unfortunate situation for all of them to be in. But, again, they fought hard. They played great the first 2 days and just had kind of an off day on Sunday.
Yes, and on Sunday, after Martin Kaymer dropped that incredible putt, and they'd won. There was Tiger Woods and Francesco Molinari, and they're playing. And people are going, are they doing this? Are they really playing? Why do they continue to play? Ron Cyrak, executive editor, Golf World.
Well, you know, first off, I think they continued to play because they wanted if they were going to decide that they were going to concede the hole and have the match, they do that on the green. You play the hole out, and you get to the end, and you do it on the green.
Okay.
Now, I don't like the rule that the defending champ keeps the cup on a 14-14 tie. I think the Ryder Cup would be better if they don't have ties. They just figure out some way to play it off. The last match, you know, goes to a conclusion or something, or you do like the President's Cup and pick two guys to go back out and play. I don't like that. I think that for Europe, they wanted to win. They wanted to win 14.5, 13.5, not keep the cup on a 14-14 tie. And they've done that in this streak that they've been on since 1985. They've done that once. I think they got 9 wins and 4 losses and 1 have in there. I think it was a pride thing, but I think it's a rule that the Ryder Cup should consider changing.
I like that idea. There were two ties in 69 and 89. It seems weird to have a tie. There should be a tiebreaker. On the crowd, the 13th team member in Chicago, one of your writers said, and she was very upset about this, the crowd was cheering when the other side made a mistake, when the Europeans made a mistake, when a ball rolled off the green. Is that appropriate or not?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, too, the atmosphere at a Ryder Cup is way different than it is at any other golf tournament. It is more like a football game than a golf tournament. First one that I went to was 1993 at the Belfry in England, and it's the first time I was exposed to the fact that the galleries are like you're at a soccer match. You know, they're singing and dancing and chanting. And, yes, there is people don't root for people to make bad shots. But they don't hide the fact that they're not disappointed if they miss a putt or something. I think that's part of the atmosphere. I think it's part of why it's part of that atmosphere I was talking about earlier that the Europeans do a better job of adjusting to than the Americans do. Chicago's a very sports crazy area, you know, and there were a lot of people there, and it was this way when in '99 at the Country Club outside Boston, where in singles match on Sunday, Payne Stewart asked Colin Montgomery was getting heckled so badly by the gallery, Payne Stewart said, look, do you want me to talk to them?
Mm-hmm.
And Colin said, no, let's just go on with it. But it is a very different atmosphere. I don't have a problem with it. It's part of what makes the Ryder Cup a unique event.
Yeah, it is like a sport. It's crazy. Someone was on the show last weekend and said that she was terrified by the crowds, and she kind of understood why Tiger Woods seems to be, when he walks around, snobbing. He's not really snubbing people. He's like, they get so close. They're on top of you. It's exciting, and that's the way the Ryder Cup is. So.
The other thing to remember is when they're playing those team formats, alternate shot and four balls, you have 40,000 fans there, and there's only four groups on the golf course at
That's
a time.
Amazing.
So everybody's, so it's all concentrated in a very, very tight space, which makes the atmosphere even more intense than normal.
Who do you think is going to be the next Ryder Cup captain?
If you go by their past behavior, David Toms probably has a leg up because he's a PGA champion. But if you look, and I mentioned this in my column this week, if you look at who the past champions are who are out there, some of the immediate past champions are Sean McKeel and Rich Beam and David Toms and Mark Brooks. And really, does any of them sort of ring your excitement level?
No.
So I think a couple things they got to consider. It's a tradition. It's not a rule. You can use a guy more than once. The only captains who've won during this European winning streak that they've been on have been Azinger, Ben Crenshaw, Tom Watson, and Dave Stockton. Maybe you go back to one of them, I think that they need to look for somebody who's going to be an inspirational leader out there. But you'd have to say that Tom's, if they follow past form, is the leader in the clubhouse right now.
What do you think of a 10-year captaincy?
To do it multiple times?
Yeah.
Again, if you look to when Europe turned it around, Tony Jacklin did it four times in a row, followed by Bernard Gallagher doing it three times in a row. The Solheim Cup, the first four European Solheim Cup teams, was Mickey Walker as the captain. And I don't have any problem with the first six Ryder Cups were captained. Captained by Walter Hagen for the United States, so I don't think that's a bad idea at all. You got something that works, stick with it.
So, forget the democracy thing. If you've got a good guy, go with him. What about Larry Nelson? Didn't he step aside so someone else could be the captain, and then he was completely looked over?
Yeah, I mean, you got a guy with three major championships here. Won 10 times on the PGA Tour, won another 19 times on the Senior Tour when he went out there. And the fact that he's 65 years old now is a reason that they don't want to look at him. And again, I think that's a false idea, that the captain has to be near the age of the player so he knows the player better. You can't tell me that Larry Nelson's not up on the PGA Tour and who's good out there. Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player didn't seem to have any problem being President Cup captains. I think that. There's a lot of sentiment for him out there. In fact, somebody's created a Twitter handle advocating Larry Nelson for the next Ryder Cup captaincy.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I was wondering. And he even said that he wouldn't mind doing it. He'd be very happy. Well, I think we've covered the Ryder Cup. Anything I've left out that you've been thinking about?
No, I think that probably the only other thing that if you were gonna give Davis Love low marks on his scorecard, and I think on our scorecard, what did we give him?
We gave him a D.
Yeah,
a D.
Is three of his four captain picks were pretty much bust.
He did say maybe I should have gone with Ricky Fowler and Hunter Mahan, but I didn't. So
right.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, I think that last clip that you played from Davis. That's what it came down to. I mean, and the Ryder Cup is a lot. And that's what match play is. That's what golf is. Get the ball in the hole first, and they made the putts on Sunday. Justin Rose, who was a really, really ordinary putter at best, phenomenal ball striker, but he made huge putts on 16, 17, and 18 to beat Phil Mickelson. We see this time and again. The putts that Colin Montgomery and Sergio Garcia and Ian Poulter and Justin Rose never make in major championships, the reason that those guys have never won a major, those putts that they never make there, they make in the Ryder Cup. I think match play has a lot to do with that. You putt with a lot less fear in match play, because usually you don't have to worry about the putt you're going to have coming back. You're just trying to make the one that you have, because if you miss it, you've lost the hole and you go on to the next hole.
On to the next.
In stroke play, you got to keep putting until you get the ball in the hole.
All right. LPGA. LPGA has gone away. They've gone to Malaysia, South Korea, and Taiwan, right? And I've got somebody joining us right now, Mary B. Porter King. She wanted to be able to say hello to you. We're going to be talking about Michelle Wee and what she's doing for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and other things. But with the LPGA going off to the Far East, we kind of lose sight of them. The time zone problem. In the meantime, the girls are Suzanne Paterson is in Mozambique, and Christy Kerr is doing Birdies for Breast Cancer. Morgan Pressel is getting married, and of course, she's very active with her foundation. How do we keep in touch with? How do we keep them at the forefront of the mind?
This is a really hard thing. They're gone for 5 weeks now. They do Asia and Mexico before they come back for the title holders. And to me, the real tragedy about this is they've got a really good story going out there right now, which is Stacey Lewis has a very, very good chance of being the first American since Beth Daniel in 1994 to be Player of the Year in the LPGA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an awesome storyline. And in 1994, that's a long time ago. And we're going to sort of lose sight of that. Yeah, the time zone thing's a problem. The fact that there's not going to be good TV coverage is a problem. I mean, it's not going to get the time zone thing makes it where you entirely are going to have to be following them by the internet, because for daily newspapers, it's the story's so old by the time that they print it a day and a half later that they're not going to bother running much.
Exactly. So I'll have to make sure I talk about them every week. That's all there is to it. Yanni Sen is defending two events, the LPGA, now I'm going to mispronounce, Kebhana Bank Championship and the Sunrise LPGA Taiwan Championship. That's pressure. She's going to be in Taiwan, and they're going to expect her to perform. It's going to be interesting.
She did an amazing job there last year, which mm-hmm. was where she is a rock star. And the fascinating thing, and that's another interesting story out there, and maybe going back to Taiwan will revitalize Yanni, but after winning three of the first five tournaments this year, she has been really ordinary, and in the major championships, less than ordinary, and has just struggled in a way that I never anticipated seeing her struggle, at least not this early in her career.
It's like a Tiger Woods thing, you know, it's everybody flabbergasted that he just lost his game. Mary B. Porter King, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, there you are.
I like the word ordinary. It sounds like my game.
Mary B., how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ron. Thank you for all you do for the game, and especially the women's game.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, you do for all you've done. All you have to do is look at the Hawaii Junior program to see what your contributions have been.
Well, we're trying to feed more American players out there. My goal is to get these kids a college education and give them a love of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Keep them hungry, though, right, Mary B.? They've got to be hungry for the game. thanks so much for being on the show, Ron.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Danielle. And Mary B., I'll see you down the road at the USGA meeting in San Diego, if not before.
Okay. I look forward to it. Thanks, Ron.
Sure.
Aloha. And we'll be back right after this with Mary B. Porter King. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that? Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. Okay, Mary B. Porter King, PGA First Lady of Golf, Founder, President, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, PGA of America, and USGA Rules Official, Mother, Mary B. Porter King, also on the advisory board of Scooter Pines Holdings, the company that launched the children's book series, Bogey Tees Off, A Lesson About Being Truthful, and many more coming out. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. No wonder I'm so tired of doing all that.
I'm tired just introducing you.
Not time for the show. I got to go now.
Oh, but this is you're about to fly away, so we need to get right to it. This is really exciting news. If you haven't heard, Michelle Wee is the title sponsor for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Tournament of Champions. And she's doing it online. All you have to do is go online to the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association website. It's hsjga.org. And you see Michelle's picture right below it. You click, bam, you make a donation. She will match everything. This is really amazing.
Well, I'm thrilled to have Michelle involved. And it's something she and I have talked about over the years that she's always wanted to do. And I think she just, she's getting older now, you know, going to be 23, is it?
Huh? 23?
Yeah. but she's always said that she wants to make a difference. And I think she wants to make a difference in people's lives, sometimes more than maybe she wants to play. Because she's, every time I hear her talk, she talks about what she wants to do after she stops playing. So,
really?
She's already starting, and she's going to match the first $10,000 of donations, and she's going to be the title sponsor to the Tournament of Champions. So, couldn't be happier.
Yeah, now the Tournament of Champions will be played at Wailea Golf Club. They've been an incredible sponsor of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association.
They've been amazing. They, every time we ask, they're there, and never a hesitation. And Ann Takapuki and Rusty Hathaway have just been so generous with the golf course. And they've hosted our Tournament of Champions, along with Card and Betsy Erdman, with Ula Palakula and Heidi Mighty Pineapple over the years. And they're all thrilled that Michelle's coming in as a sponsor. But I say Wailea's been such a wonderful sponsor through the years of junior golf, and big believers in junior golf.
Part of this Tournament of Champions, let's explain that. The kids play, 24 tournaments?
Right. They go through our schedule, and they have to have won a tournament to be invited to the Tournament of Champions. So it's a very elite field, or they make one of our teams. And as you know, we have several teams. We have the Asia Pacific Junior Cup coming up also next month, in end of this month in early November at Waikoloa, where 16 of our players play and compete against 16 members from Japan. So, and I say we sponsor 5 teams throughout the year. So if you make a team, you're also invited. So it's a very prestigious field. It's also a time where our seniors come back to share their experiences with junior golf, what they learn, most of the time the hard way, which is always sort of funny, and they always seem to share some ruling that I happen to be the rules official, that they learn something, and I said, I'm just the messenger. You broke the rule. I'm just telling you what the penalty is.
Right. Here's the book, here's the page, yeah. And this is the number you wrote. Yeah.
Yeah. So right. Somehow Mary B. penalized me. I said, no, you penalized yourself. So, but it's a wonderful time, and Michelle will be the guest speaker this year, which will be a lot of fun. And we're having a fundraiser around it too there as well, where people can come kind of have an inside the rope experience with Michelle over a 2-day period. And Mark Rolfing, who's on our board, and David Marr, who's very involved with us, will both be there as well. And where Michelle's going to be playing an exhibition, and they'll have basically, you know, access to her, watching her play just 3 or 4 holes at Wailea, and with Mark and David as the commentators. So it's kind of their own private show.
So, and I could be there?
You could be there. All you have to do is pay $1,500 to come over, and play golf one day and have the inside exhibition, inside the rope exhibition with Michelle, and you'll have lunch at Bev Gannon's restaurant, and then that evening you'll have a fireside chat with Mark Rolfing and Dave Marr about the issues of the game. You'll have access to them at a very, very private home in Wailea.
And that, so, for $1,500.
For $1,500. You coming over? Let me sign you up.
Yes, I'd like to do that. That's...
Well, it's available on Michelle's site as well, and it's also available on our site. So it's like you already said, hsjga.org, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And send us an email or click on Michelle's link. She was only putting four of those up for sale. It's a very exclusive. It's only going to be 24 people allowed inside the ropes. Today is the first day we've really publicized it and in the paper on Thursday. But and seven are already gone. So if you want to participate, please get a hold of us quickly.
Really quickly. So there's only 24 spots, and eight are gone already.
Correct.
Okay. There's
correct.
Only 16 left, if I'm doing my math correctly. I'm never very good at that on the air.
Not enough fingers.
Now, tell us, you're raising money. Why? What's it for?
Well, there, you know, I think the biggest issue, the more we grow, the more needs we have, for one. I mean, we're a year-round program, where most programs in the mainland, especially wherever they're located, are just summer programs, but we're a year-round program to give the kids an opportunity. Our green fees, almost all the courses are very generous to some degree, but we're still paying green fees at a lot of courses, and you know, that fee alone is almost a fourth of our budget is what we're paying in green fees over the years. So we try not to collect all that from the kids. We try to raise that money, keep the expenses low, because obviously we're unique being islands. And there's some expense involved. So one of the things that Michelle would like to do with this money especially is to provide some travel scholarships and allow them the ability to be able to travel inter-island. So that would be a big help.
Huge. It's expensive. $300 at least to go round trip, and then you have to have a place to stay if you don't have friends someplace, and then there's transportation. You probably need to have an adult with you, right?
You do. So you're not traveling alone at this stage. So, you know, it becomes more exclusive. That's why we try to have the equal number of events on each island. So no matter which island the child lives, they'll at least be able to participate the same amount of tournaments as any other child that couldn't afford to travel. Obviously, our big tournaments, our big qualifiers, like a Junior World and also now the PGA Junior, we always, in the USGA Junior, those big qualifiers, we're trying to keep those rotating throughout the state so each child has the opportunity to play in. So, no matter which island you go, someone's going to travel. So,
right, yeah. Right now on Kauai at Poipu, there's the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association tournament underway.
We do. That's where I'm flying home right now. And we have what we call our mixed team, and it falls usually right around the Ryder Cup. It's the same format as the Ryder Cup. And it's also the same format that we play against Asia Pacific. So we play a Ryder Cup format, and we also play it mixed, where a boy will play with a girl, and they'll play alternate shots. So a lot of strategy involved, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a great training tournament for them, and also it's a major championship for them.
Yeah, why don't we play more of the match play?
Well, I don't know. It's so much, just as you know, it's the original form of play of golf, and there's so much more strategy involved, and we've become, I heard Ron speak a little bit of it, but match play to me is so much more fun. It's strategy. It's each hole is its own separate match.
Yeah.
And then also foursomes. We don't play foursomes over here. And if you go to Europe, that's all they play. They play once a week. They play stroke play and metal play, as they call it. And where they'll go out and they'll play 36 holes, two people, and they'll whip around and, you know, an hour and a half for 18 holes, and they'll have a lot to drink in the middle, and then they'll go out and play the next 18 holes. But they're playing every alternate shot. It's foursomes, and that's what they play, and they're so good at it. And I sometimes think, you know, we should be doing more of it. I think it's fun.
I think, yeah, let's go. I want to go, and I want to go to Europe, do that hour and a half, go drink a lot, and go back again.
Yeah, the drinking part is the good part, yeah.
Now, for the Michelle Wee, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Tournament of Champions fundraising campaign, there's on the website, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association's website, HSJGA. Aren't you proud of me? Remember when I first tried to say that 15 years ago?
It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but the more you say it, actually, it's a little easier.
Yeah, it's hsjga.org. Go there. Okay. Now, if you $10 gets you a Twitter shout out, a big thank you shout out on Twitter, and a matching donation from, and this is Michelle Wee's, at the Michelle Wee. Okay. That's just $10. Okay.
Yep.
For $25, you get a thank you note from Michelle, personalized.
Yep.
With the Twitter shout out and matching donation. For $45, you get an autographed Michelle Wee photo. And then the $1,500 sponsor package. Join Michelle and a small group of sponsors. Maui exclusive once in a lifetime golf experience, including 18 hole round at Wailea with other sponsors, not with Michelle, but with other sponsors. 3-hole walking clinic by Michelle, private sponsors luncheon at Wailea Golf Club, player banquet with keynote speaker Michelle, and a tea gift from Nike. And that'll be in December. Is it still December 14th and 15th?
That's correct.
Okay. Airfare and accommodations not included. I like how you put that. So this is the $1,500 sponsor package. There's only 24 total, so it's going to be a very small group of people. 8 are gone. You need to go and get yours. Now, there's also the sponsor package for $5,000. What's that?
Well, the sponsor package is, there's only 2 of these custom Kia golf bags that Michelle is putting up, and she's going to sell one of her custom designed and autographed golf bags that she used during the 2012 season. So my husband was joking. He said, maybe we should get that for our son, who's, you know, it's pink, by the way.
It's pink?
Yeah, it's pink. There's a picture of it on the site. It's a wonderful golf bag, but it's a one-of-a-kind situation. And the other thing, Danielle, on these different packages, they're going to be changing and rotating almost weekly. Every other week, you'll see something new come up for a different level sponsorship. So it will be, we're looking at some Women's Open tickets. We're looking at some different things that are going to be available. So Nike duffel bags that are going to go out for certain levels. So there's Michelle's working hard with Nike and her sponsors to come up with more, what does she call it? More gifts to give.
Swag.
Back.
Yeah, swag. Yeah.
Swag, that's it. Would be a swag with Michelle. Correct.
Yeah, you want to get your swag. So.
Yeah.
So. All right, this is great. We were talking about things in general. What was it, the event that we came in, a dismal 15th? The Glory.
The World Amateur Team.
Yeah, the boys are playing right now in Turkey, right?
In Turkey, yeah.
Right, and the Republic of Korea and Germany and Canada and Japan and Australia, New Zealand, Spain. Wait, I'm trying to find the U.S. Korea, Germany, Canada, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Spain, Finland, France, England, Sweden, Czech, Belgium, Italy, Latvia, Norway. Yeah. Norway makes sense. Latvia. There we are. The United States. Tied for 16th.
It's interesting to see where we are. The men are leading. I just read a press release as I was having breakfast this morning, but there's 3 young men there representing the United States, and they're doing quite well. In fact, they set a scoring record yesterday. But it is interesting to see how the world is catching up with us, and in a lot of ways they're catching, and especially South Korea. The team behind the men this week is South Korea, and the South Korean women's team won the World Amateur Team. So I love that the game is growing throughout the world. I'm not too sure the United States is growing the game as quickly as the rest of the world. And I would love to see us really have a focus on growing the game within the United States for everyone and having that opportunity. And I think we're getting there. I know the PGA of America is well on its way with some plans, and I think, Danielle, you saw it as well regarding kind of a little league concept in golf, and that's starting and it's growing, and I think it'll be wonderful to have kind of inter-club and inter-team competition where the kids wear jerseys, you know, wear a golf shirt with their number on the back and compete. And I think that's what the game needs, is to help it grow a little bit, little more friendly competition.
Yeah, the one we're speaking of, the World Amateur Team Championship, is Stephen Fox, Justin Thomas, and Chris Williams. Jim Vernon is their captain, and they are doing very well. Now, the idea, I'm waiting for Marilyn Smith to call in, and maybe we need to give her a shout-out, if we could give her a jingle, because we wanted to have her kind of little overlapping. This is friends. Ron is your friend, and another friend of yours is Marilyn, so I thought it's a friends thing.
It's a friend morning. It's I appreciate you reconnecting me with all my friends in the world.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's my job.
Yeah. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Now, the idea, what you're talking about is, and I like this, I think this would be great for, like, Bayview, Mililani. Let me see. We've got other courses that might – why not Olawai? If you didn't know this, Olawai has 250,000 rounds a year. It's the most used municipal course in the on the United States – probably the entire world.
Sure, the world, yeah.
It's an amazing – but there would be fun. This is like having they'd be teams of kids playing against one another. Is that what we're talking?
Yeah, there are teams, and it's just like you would know where to sign your son up, and I would have for soccer and even volleyball and
T-ball
and all of that. And there's a progression that you go through the sport. Golf hasn't had that template, that pattern throughout the years, because kids usually came through private clubs. And now with so few private clubs, especially here in Hawaii, it's difficult. And I think this concept, this team concept, kind of a club effect, will have a profound effect on junior golf and growing the game, where it gives kids an opportunity to progress at their own level and gives parents the opportunity and the knowledge to know where to go from here, because they'll be going through as a team.
Yeah, and kids like the social part of it, you know, the social aspect. And if they're working together, they don't feel so singled out. One thing about children is they're extremely self-conscious. But if they can not hide in a team, but be a part of the team, it really helps. It's baseball, you know. When we used to have recess, you could go over to the room, the equipment room. This is way a long time ago. You could get baseball, softballs, go out and dodgeball. You'd play together. We don't have that in golf. It's this solitary, single. As I told you, I tried to suggest that I take the kids out. Let's go play golf. And their mother looked at me like, huh? You're going to take the children where? To play golf? Is that a good idea? You know, is that socially acceptable? People don't really understand that it's cool to take your kids to play golf. A lot of people don't understand that.
It is, and just for that, it's just because they look at it, they're just going to go with you know, grandma's, and I want to be with other kids. And if we're taking them to a place where there are other kids and they're all in the same boat,
yes,
and they make friends and they all have on, I'm number four and
yes,
you're number one, and you know, our shirts, and we're going to go compete against these other kids, just like in soccer or any other sport.
Yeah.
I think little kids love the uniforms more than I know my son did.
Yes.
mean, when he got into Little League or T-ball, it was all about the uniforms. So,
it is all about the uniforms. Speaking of baseball, I keep going back to baseball because we have somebody joining us who really wanted to play baseball. And she wanted to play baseball against the guys. And she was, I think, the manager and the coach, and she could take them all on, and she in charge of the boys. And that's Marilyn Smith, and she's just finished her autobiography. It's a great book. Welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Good morning, and nice to hear Mary B. Wonderful. I'm so proud of you, Mary B., and what you're doing for children and for golf. It's wonderful.
Well, Marilyn, I just want to say, and I've said this publicly before, but thanks to you and all of the pioneers in women's golf, I've had this opportunity. So I know what you did and what those that were playing with you and the founders of the LPGA did in those days. And I just want to publicly thank you for all you did to make it possible for not only me, but Michelle and all of these young ladies that are able to compete today, because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. So,
well, you're very sweet. You know, we had a lot of help along the way. You know that, don't you?
I do. But you guys, if they look at now what the LPGA looks like and what it looked like when you were playing and even when I was playing, it's a different world.
Well, you know, we started off, there were 13 of us co-founders back in 1950 in my hometown of Wichita, Kansas, and we just had 12 tournaments that year, and the total prize money was $50,000.
I like a quote in your book where you say, Marilyn, we did things for ourselves without management companies, a headquarters staff, or swing coaches. Amazingly, we survived without corporate logos on our clothing.
Oh, you got a copy of my book, I can tell.
I've been reading your book, and we have to let Mary B. go. She's got to catch a flight at 8:30. Mary B., thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. And Marilyn, thanks again, and my love to you, and I hope to catch up with you soon.
Well, come and see me in Phoenix. I love you too, honey.
Okay,
thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
All
bye,
right.
Bye.
Oh, thank you, Mary B. Porter King. And to get your contributions in, go to hsjga.org. And, hey, for $1,500, that's a really sweet deal for a really, really great day. We're going to take a break real quick, Marilyn. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. Co-founder of the LPGA, winner of 21 tournaments, including two majors, traveled to all 50 states and 37 countries, conducting over 4,000 exhibitions and clinics for more than 250,000 people. LPGA president for 3 years, co-founder, of course, of the LPGA teaching division, first female TV commentator at a PGA Tour tournament, organized the first senior women's professional tournament, member of 8 Halls of Fame, including the World Golf Hall of Fame. Welcome, and by the way, tournament host of the LPGA Foundation's Marilyn Smith Scholarship Tournament. I think that's the longest intro I've ever had to do, Marilyn Smith.
You know what? You sound like you could be my agent. What do you charge? Thank you. Oh, it's wonderful to hear your voice. And how is your handsome husband doing, too?
Just fine. Thank you.
Good.
Now, Have Clubs Will Travel is the name of the book. Yes.
Bob Kane helped me write it, you know, and it's all my stuff, and he kind of brought it to life, and you know Bob.
Yes.
And go ahead.
No, it's okay. I just want you to have clubs will travel. I mean, that is such a perfect, perfect title for your book. You girls were traveling, obviously, around the world. It's just amazing. You can buy her book for your Kindle at marilynsmith.com. Or you can order a personalized copy from Marilyn Smith, and her email address is on the page. And I think it is so wonderful, Marilyn, how you've embraced technology. You've got a website, you've got email now. Marilyn Smith spends hours writing, handwriting letters and cards. She's an amazing, amazing person. You are. Now, one of my favorite quotes from your book on your website as well is, "We were a mixture of war heroes, young kids, mothers, well-educated, world-class athletes determined to make a living playing golf."
Well, you're right. We had 13, you know, Helen Detweiler was a pilot. She was a member of the Wasps.
Wow.
And Patty Berg was in the Marines. And so we had a variety, and everybody brought their own charisma and talent to give birth to the LPGA back in 1950.
I had no idea. War heroes. That's really something. And as you said, you all brought your own charisma. Marilyn has told me on a couple of occasions that, did you girls go out and weed before you could play?
Well, no, we had some weeds on the greens in Oklahoma. But our courses, you know, weren't groomed as well as they are now. And, of course, we played the courses 6,250 to 6,950 yards long in the 50s. People thought, well, you know, we played from the ladies' tees. No, we didn't. And in the Concord Hotel in New York, they didn't want us to shoot good scores. They put us way back at 6,950 yards. And it rained the night before, so the course played over 7,000 yards, Danielle.
Wow.
And Shirley Engelhorn had 77, 76, 76 to win the tournament. It was fabulous.
Wow.
And then another great round of golf that I saw, in fact, I was playing with Louise Suggs and Shirley Spork, and Louise Suggs, in a 60-mile-an-hour wind, shot a 78. And that same day, Shirley Spork was going to hit a three-wood shot, and the wind blew her off balance, and she whiffed the ball. And we just laughed, you know, but Louise just went along very stoically, and we shot a 78.
Wow.
Now, all this is in the book, so I...
It is. All of it is in the book. And some of the things that you did were so... I think the LPGA needs to think out of the box. I really do. It takes some lessons from you. What you decided was to tee it forward because low scores attract crowds.
We thought so, yes. And Mickey Wright, you know, went along with this. She was our longest hitter, so that shows you what kind of a person she was. She wanted to be sure that the LPGA grew, so... She agreed to have the tees brought up were more, you know, in line.
did you find that the crowds appreciated the fact, you know, those low scores?
Oh, I think so. But you know, Babe Zaharias was our marquee player. She was an Olympic champion, and people knew her. So when she was living, she got the crowds to come out. They wanted to see her play because she was a swashbuckling type player. You know, she hit the ball a long way, and she was quick with a quip. And then when she died in 1956, Danielle, that was kind of a crisis in the LPGA. We almost folded, but a lot of us really went more public relations-minded. In fact, I even hit golf balls at major league ballparks like St. Louis and Cincinnati and Washington. I'd hit 9 or 8 irons from home plate out to center field, then take the microphone, you know, and ask the fans to come out and watch the LPGA play nearby. And that was fun because you got me at the ball games.
Did you have somebody catching those balls that you were hitting?
I think I was too wild for that. But do I have time to tell you about the boxing match that Shirley Spork and I went to?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we went to Little Andover, Maryland, and there was a boxing match, and we were going to play the U.S. Open near there. And this one fellow was just pulverizing the other chap. It was just brutal. Well, I can't stand the sight of blood, so I couldn't get in the ring. So Shirley Spork climbed through the ropes and grabbed the microphone and talked to the fans, the boxing fans, to to see if they would come out and watch us play. I don't know if any of them came out to see us, but at least we tried.
Yeah, that's it. You know, putting yourself out there and promoting yourselves. That you had to take it very personally. This was you wanted to make a living playing golf, so you had to create the success.
We had to get publicity because if we ever got any write-ups, Daniel, they'd be on the back page. You know.
Oh, you made. Oh, what is that? Golf World magazine wrote in 69, making history in New Zealand. Marilyn woos and wows them.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. As the world tour continues, she becomes the first woman to play in a men's open tournament. Marilyn Smith and first woman to hit a golf ball across Waikato River and Hamilton on North Island.
Well, I gave some golf clinics over there for Spalding. I represented Spalding Sporting Goods Company. But I at one of the exhibitions in Wellington, I met Marilyn Smith with one N instead of two N's, and her daddy was a pro and brought her out to see my clinic. And when it was over, she said to her daddy, "Well, I want to be a pro and join the LPGA Tour." And you know what? 10 years later, she came over to this country, but she had to go by MJ Smith because I was still playing the tour. And she teaches golf at the Army-Navy golf course now in Washington.
Wow.
Isn't that a great story?
That is a great story. And other people Renee Powell and Sandra Post. Renee Powell is a PGA First Lady of Golf. She credits Marilyn Smith with getting them into the LPGA. You were their inspiration.
Well, Renee is a great person, and, you know, her daddy built that golf course in East Canton, Ohio, which is an historical course now. And Sandra Post, I met her when she was five. Her parents brought her down to Florida where I was living with my parents.
Wow.
And I met her when she was 5 years old, and I got her set of golf clubs from Spalding. And we've been friends ever since. Those kids are just wonderful. They're not kids anymore, but to me they seem like kids.
Oh, they'll always be kids, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Marilyn, she said she spells her name with two N's, and that's when you look for her at marilynsmith.com. It's Marilynn. Why do you have two N's?
Well, my daddy's name was Lynn, Lynn.
Ah.
And my whole career, Daniel, they would chop that N off. Because they couldn't believe it with two N's. And don't we have something going on to where I can send a book to one of your
absolutely
radio people?
Absolutely. We have the ninth caller is the winner. The winner is going to get a personalized Marilyn Smith book, okay? We're going to send your address to Marilyn. She's going to write something, and it's
I'll mail it to them, yes.
And she will mail it to you, okay? So all you need to do is call this number. 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. All right?
Daniel, thank you. But you know what? They can call me, and they can send me a check, and I'll send them a book. They don't have to go through Kendall. They can, you know, call me if you want to give my number. It's okay.
You sure? Let's let them go online. I think it's better to Marilyn Smith.
On my email?
Yeah, don't you think so?
Yeah, I'm not very good at that, but I think I can do it. I never took typing because I knew I wasn't going to be a secretary. Now I wish I had. But no, I can get an email. I can work it out.
Oh, okay.
If they email me.
I'm kind of nervous giving out your number. But
okay.
If you don't mind, you seriously don't mind?
No, have them email me. Do you have my email?
Yeah, and it's really easy. It's right on your website. Let me pull it up here.
LPGA50@cox.net.
LPGA50@cox.net.
Yeah, LPGA was born in 1950. That's why I got that.
Excellent. And
thank you.
And if you can't remember that, if you're driving, marilynsmith.com, it's right on her page, right at the bottom. All right. It's a really great, great book.
Thank you.
It's lots of history, lots of insight, and lots of fun. You know what? I want to talk about this one guy. I love this because in college we did a progressive dinner. And if you don't know what a progressive dinner is, it's when you decide we took a limousine. And we went from one restaurant to another. And what you do is you start at one restaurant. Let's say if you really want to do this big, you start with cocktails at one. Okay. Then you continue with the cocktails in the limo, and then you go to have your appetizers at a restaurant. And then from that restaurant, you go to the next restaurant for your main course. And,
how fun.
Oh, yes. And then from there, you go for your dessert. And it's just like a party. You're rolling along, right? It is a party, but you're partying at various restaurants. Sam Waikoloa is our winner. Congratulations, Sam. We're going to get your address. We need
Sam
you to tell
Waikoloa.
Sam, he's Waikoloa on the Big Island. Well, we don't call it the Big Island anymore in Hawaii. The largest island in the islands is, the name is Hawaii. And it's confusing for people who come to Hawaii. You're going to Hawaii? Yes, I'm going to Hawaii. Are you going to Hawaii the state, or are you going to Hawaii the island? You know, it's so we've kind of called it the Big Island, but people want us to call it Hawaii. So Sam is at Waikoloa on the Big Island, and he's our winner. And congratulations, Sam.
And you're gonna call me later and give me his address?
Absolutely will. Absolutely. Now, look, on this progressive dinner, the reason I bring this up is it's so... The gentleman who, was it Alvin Hanmacher?
Yes.
And he decided to do a progressive transcontinental tournament?
Yeah, four tournaments, cross country.
that was like a tour within the, how did he do that? How did he tee off in California and hole out in New York?
Yeah, we had a tournament in California, one in, I think, Chicago, Cleveland, and New York.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah, I forget who won the tournament, so I have to read the book to find out. But he was terrific. We had a lot of people that really helped us in those early days. Helen Langfeld, a lady in California, had some tournaments that she organized.
And Karsten Solheim?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And the Solheim Cup, we're very indebted to him and his family. They've done so much for golf. And a great, great company.
How did he help the LPGA?
Well, of course, the Solheim Cup.
Right.
Yeah, but didn't... really put the girls on the map, you know, and that's a fabulous tournament. And the golf clubs, I was the first lady pro to use his putter when he was just working out of his garage in Phoenix.
It's great. It is great. It's a great story.
And what a company that he has established in. His granddaughter played in our tournament last Monday.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And Louise, his wife, is still living.
She was there the last year, I think.
Yes, she was. She couldn't make it this year, but she's still going strong and just a great family.
The Colgate company was also a big supporter of the LPGA in the beginning. They sent you around the world, Kuala Lumpur, England, Hong Kong, Manila, Singapore. My point is life on the road. The fact that you ate vitamins that wasn't something that everybody did then.
Well, Marlene Hagee ate a lot of them too. I think she ate more than I did. She must have had 20 or 25. But, because we faced tremendous physical struggles in those days, Danielle, because we drove most of the time. We couldn't afford to fly, and we would be caravan style, you know, like five cars. And then if someone had a flat tire, which was all too often, we'd stop and help, you know. We were like a big family, even though we were competitive, too.
Wow.
We had to go 1,600 miles from Spokane, Washington, to Waterloo, Iowa.
Wow.
And then you get in your motel, you check for a laundromat and then a place to get your hair done, and then you have to speak at a Kiwanis luncheon or a Lions luncheon and press conference, and then you play a practice round, and then you play a four-day tournament. It was tough. You had to be in good shape, and we didn't have those fitness centers that travel around with them like they do now.
Yeah, they didn't even have fitness rooms at the hotels you stopped in.
Well, you had to our idea of staying in shape was to go out and hit golf balls. And Betsy Rawls and I would practice. Betsy Rawls probably practiced more than anybody, and she was fantastic around the greens. So
amazing.
We had some great players too, you know, and we can't. I don't think we can judge the players from yesteryear with the players today because our conditions were so much tougher then, you know, and so we had some great, great players back then.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, gee, we expect so much of our are Ryder Cup players. They have to be in all of these media events, and they have to do these news conferences, and it takes their concentration away. And but when I've talked to you, it's like, what? It, you did everything, plus you drove 1,600 miles.
Yeah, we didn't fly then.
No. And you played with presidents, and you played with celebrities, and I have to ask you, who did you enjoy playing with the most?
I didn't play with any presidents. I had the opportunity and the pleasure to meet five.
You met five presidents?
Uh-huh. Eisenhower at the Cherry Hills Country Club. He was ready to hit a punch two iron shot under the tree. And my uncle was governor of Kansas and had made the second nominating speech for him in 1952. So when the pro drove me out to meet him, he introduced me as Ed Arn's niece. not as a co-founder of the LPGA. We shook hands, and then I saw him hit this punch shot under a tree.
Okay.
And then I met John Kennedy when I was living in Tequesta, Florida, with my parents. The pro called up and said, "Do you want to meet President-elect John Kennedy?" Well, I didn't vote for him, but anyway, I thought, oh, that'd be wonderful to meet him.
Yeah.
And he was so impressive. He looked you right in the eye and shook hands, you know, with those beautiful eyes. And then he promptly sliced off into the right.
Oops!
Bless his heart. He was great. He was great. Then I met the older George Bush, and Gerald Ford, and Richard Nixon.
Wow! 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 Wow!
Yeah.
Now, let's see. Gerald Ford always got kind of wasn't that good of a golfer, was he?
No, I guess not.
No, but George Bush Senior. Very good golfer.
Well, he's a good athlete and keeps himself in great shape. Imagine him jumping out of an airplane like that.
Gosh. Truly amazing man. Truly.
I'm afraid to even get in one to fly. He's jumping out of one.
Marilyn Smith, co-founder LPGA, her autobiography is Have Clubs, Will Travel. You got to get it. You can get a personalized copy from her website, marilynsmith.com. It's with two N's. If you're driving, you know, I'm going to put it on my website. Okay, a link on my website, in addition on my Facebook page, both of them.
Oh, and thank you, sweetie.
Absolutely, because people should read this. And there are so many stories we shouldn't go through them. We want them to get the book and read it.
Well, you know what, too, Danielle? We have about 10 of the girls that have given golf tips, too.
In the book.
Patty Berg, who's passed away. When we had the first women's senior tournament, she gave a tip, and I put that in the book. So you get some ideas on how to play better from some of these great players.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Marilyn Smith. Have Clubs, Will Travel, LPGA co-founder, World Golf Hall of Fame member. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you, sweetie. I hope to see you again.
We will.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club. We've got a wonderful man, Brian Wacker. He is a writer for PGAtour.com. He's coming up next.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Back in the clubhouse, graduate of Southern Connecticut State University, Golf Digest. He left Golf Digest for a job with South Florida Sun Sentinel right in the midst of, it was 2008, newspapers scrambling to make the switch to the digital platform. Now writer and editor for PGAtour.com. Welcome to the show, Brian Wacker.
You've really done your homework, Danielle. glad to be here.
Yeah, there's so much going on the PGA Tour. All the changes that are coming up this year. This is the last Q School year. This is when the Web.com tour takes on a much bigger role in things. And we've got the fall series going on. And pretty soon we won't have an end to the end. When are you going to take a vacation?
You know, I often get asked, what do you do in the off season? And I said, you mean that week between Christmas and New Year's? Because that's essentially what it amounts to. And there are a lot of changes going on, not so much in terms of the schedule, but sort of how the structure of it's going to change with obviously the fall series here.
We're having just a little bit of trouble hearing you. You were coming in really strong. Did you move?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I love that phrase.
Yes. So, as you were saying, it's a busy time for the tour, and like I said, I often get asked what I do in the off season, and there really isn't much of an off season anymore. And we see this more and more, not just in golf, but obviously other sports, whether it's the NFL, baseball, et cetera. But a lot going on, and this, of course, the final year of the fall series that you mentioned, which will fold into the FedEx Cup portion of the season next year, which basically means, you know, those events are going to be worth full points, and guys it'll play more into the FedEx Cup part of the season, and it'll take on a greater importance, if you will, and so there really won't be much of an off season. Of course, there's a couple of events in Asia in November and December, so and then the season starts back up in January. So, you know, really only a few weeks before players have to turn it around and get right back out there.
This really puts with the way things are in the world of golf, when the guys have choices like the World Golf Championships, and now we're having a bit of trouble on my end, aren't we? With the World Golf Championships and the majors, there are so many, there's a set schedule that they can set. I believe it's 14, right? Pretty much, those are the big events that they play.
You've got 15 events to keep your tour membership, and of course majors count toward that total. World Golf Championship events count toward that total. I've heard some folks on the European side trying to get the Ryder Cup count toward their total in terms of European tour membership, which I believe is 13. So, you know, there are ways to do it. And look, you know, this is a guys like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are still going to play the same events that they typically play. You know, I don't think we're going to really see them play the fall series much at all. They're going to still play their 18, 20 events a year, give or take. And it's not really going to affect them. But what it is going to affect is the bulk of the PGA Tour and the bulk of the players, out there. So, some guys, depending on your status, are going to play 18 to 20 events. Some guys are going to play 5, and then you're going to have other players, chasing their card and chasing that spot in the 125 and playing as many events as they need to.
Let me ask you this. We've got the fall series right now, speaking of the guys.
Yep.
In these tournaments, it's the Justin Timberlake, the Fries.com, the McLeod Classic, the Children's Miracle Network. They're fighting for their card, their playing privileges. The top 125 get to keep their full status, right? And then they go, 75 of them will go in and play the web.com tour, and then we'll have the Q School. But I digress. Let's go in order here. So this year, this fall series is all about making sure you get into the top 125, which, for instance, John Daly is fighting to do. He's trying to get up there.
You know, a lot of players, and John got off the terrific start through the first two rounds in Las Vegas, needs to finish in the top 125, hasn't had full-time status on the tour in 6 years. So a lot of players over this next month, that's exactly what they're playing for, Danielle. But the flip side of it, some guys are going to be playing for different reasons. I'll give you an example, kind of like a Brendan DeYoung, certainly tour card pretty much secured in the top 50 or so on the money list. But But if he can finish in the top 30 on my list this year, that'll get him a spot in the field for next year's Masters. Likewise with a guy like Jerry Kelly, who certainly has veteran status out there, has a money exemption that he can use if he doesn't finish in the top 125. But he wants to get reps. I mean, these are guys who typically didn't play very deep into the playoffs, and they've been off for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. So they want to get some golf in. I mean, that's what they do. They play golf for a living, and that's what they're trying to do over this next month, position themselves in the 125 or just get in some reps.
Yeah, or make a paycheck. As you said, they're playing for, you know, Marilyn Smith was on the show just a few minutes ago, and they wanted to play golf for a living, so they created the LPGA.
Yeah, these guys don't have guaranteed contracts for the most part, like we see in the NFL, or I'm sorry, like we see in, you know, the NBA or other sports, baseball, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the end of Q School is coming, and this is like last year, William McGirt. He finished 144 on the money list. Well, he got himself back on the tour through Q School. This year, Brandon Grace, on the European Tour, he got onto the European Tour through the European Tour Q School, and then he won a bunch of tournaments, and he may be Player of the Year if he pulls it off against Rory McIlroy. The big question. So where's this final Q School? Where are they holding it this year?
So this year, Q School, well, two things. One, it's not technically going away. What's changing is, this is the last year that players can go directly from Q School to the PGA Tour if they finish high enough at Q School, top 25, et cetera. Now, this year's tournament is being held out west at Palm Desert at La Quinta, a very familiar spot. They typically rotate between California, you know, the Palm Desert area, and Florida. This year, it'll be out at Palm Desert, PGA West, and again, to your point, yeah, it'll be the last year guys will be able to play their way from Q School onto the PGA Tour. And I talked to a couple of guys about this. I mean, there's this year, obviously, more than any other, there's a lot of pressure to finish in that top 125, because if you don't finish in that one, in that 125 area, or if you don't get to Q, you know, there are fewer starts for those guys in that 126 to 150 category, basically, moving forward. So next year, those Q School spots will go to the web.com tour, where players will move to that tour and try to play their way out to the PGA Tour from the web.com tour.
Okay, the idea is, instead of going from Q School to PGA Tour immediately and possibly floundering because you're not accustomed to it, and I think that's one of the reasons, they're going to go from the have Q School and go to the web.com tour and play there, while there you're also going to have, from what I understand, web.com, some of the top players of the web.com will immediately go up into the PGA Tour, but then some of the guys who are on the PGA Tour, I think it's 125 to 200, They're going to go play for. Explain that part to me. That's where I get confused.
Yeah, you'll have basically a mini series of events. There will be four events where guys from that 126 and beyond number on the PGA Tour will participate, and then players from the web.com tour will participate. And in those events will essentially amount to a playoff system in which players will be able to get their way onto the PGA Tour that route as well. So a lot of changes, lots to keep track of.
Yeah.
But to your point, it sort of takes away the long shot, the miracle of the guy who, you know, plays six good rounds of golf or you know, more than that, really, because if he has to qualify for the final stage and work his way there, you know, 2, 3, 4 stages just to get to the final stage of Q School, it takes away that miracle shot, essentially, which we don't really see very often anyhow. And then secondly, it limits college players from coming directly out of college, having success at Q School, and then going on to the PGA Tour from there. Again, a rare thing, but you know, we've seen players go the other route. Bud Cauley, for example, you know, working his way on the PGA Tour through sponsor exemptions and playing well enough in those events and so forth. So, lots to keep track of, obviously, in the next 12 months for us to tour.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a diagram for myself, because so that I can keep track of all this. These, you know, you have to take a class in how to progress and what to do. We were talking with Mary B. Porter King earlier about how parents need to know how, you know, once you get your kid into golf, what's the next step? Well, you need to put steps, a little booklet on what to do next to get onto the PGA Tour. Not. Okay, this is exciting. The whole event, Jonas Blixt from Sweden, Brendan Jejong from Zimbabwe, and Ryan Moore from Las Vegas, Nevada. I think, is his home course TPC Summerlin?
Well, I think he just moved back there, if I'm not mistaken. I know he's moved it around a bit to Dallas, lived there for a bit, obviously came out of the Seattle area, went to college at UNLV, played collegiately there, of course, an All-American and U.S. Amateur champ. He may actually call Scottsdale home these days. He's moved around quite a bit the last couple of years, but certainly a local kid in terms of playing well there, knows the course well. In his six trips there, he's finished in the top 25, I think, three times, obviously off to another great start so far there through the first two rounds. So, we're into October here, but still a lot of golf to be played.
A lot of golf. And this is what Brendan Young said about going up against the hometown kid, Ryan Moore. Is it kind of like a pressure? Do you like the vibe that you get when you're playing that? Do we have that ready for us, Chaz? Number eight? Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting. Obviously, any time there's a little bit of fan support, a little bit extra buzz, it's nice. You know, even if it's not always for you, it's nice to hear a little roar or murmur, or whatever it may be.
I think we need to learn from that, you know. Even if it's not for you, even if they're not cheering for you, just having the buzz.
Well, you know, go ask the European Ryder Cup team about that. They seem to fare pretty well when the crowd was against them last week. So worked out just fine for them.
I know. It was thinking about that exactly when I heard him say that. It's like, yeah, all right. And Captain Davis Love, he couldn't wait to go play golf again. He leaves Medina on Monday, and then, boom, he's over playing here, and just amazing. What, he shot a 68, 67? I think he said something like, I'm not sure I'm going to play really good golf. He said that on Tuesday, and here he is doing just fine. Really something. It's great talking to you, Brian. We're going to have to get you a better phone next time so we can really hear you. But I hope you'll join me again, because the show's about to end.
Well, I will do my best, or perhaps next time in Hawaii we can make it work. But a pleasure to join you today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. The pleasure is all mine. I'm looking forward to being. Yeah, you can sit down at the table with me. That would be fun. That'd be great. All right. And you'll be back on the show, because I'll twist your arm. Thanks so much for being with me today.
You got it. Anytime.
All right. And we've got something great going on at Turtle Bay. Oahu's fabled North Shore. It's today the 8th annual Seafood Fest Golf Tournament. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. If you would like to play a round of golf, I've got a number of tee times for you. And at Poipu Bay, for instance, where the HSJGA tournament is underway, it's match play. 10:40, 1:10, 1:40, and 25% off on the sale rack. If you'd like to play Kapolei, there's a 9:20, 11:40. And at the Royal Hawaiian Country Club, there's an 8:40. I think it's too late, but the Mililani Golf Club is visiting over there. They're going to have a great time. And Olomana, $40 only, because they aerated. This is a good time to practice. A 9:30, 11:20, and a 12 o'clock. I want to thank the sponsors for making this show possible. Without you, I couldn't do it. Thank you, Alakai Mechanical, number one for your air conditioning and plumbing needs. You've got to have your air conditioning running at top efficiency, and that's why you need service from Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection, for property threat, for risk assessment, you got to have it assessed. Then you can take it from there. Protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, for your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, what you need. It's in Hawaii and California. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by the Emerald Green Mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and the ancient places of worship known as Heiau. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Avancé cut, color, silkening technology, extensions, manicures, pedicures, you name it. They've got it, whether you're avant-garde or very conservative. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.